You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Every word, and that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see what he's saying and doing, what you're seeing and doing. And I pray you'd clear my muddled head. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kate. And thank you, Matt and guys, for really sort of confirming, I feel, the words that the Lord's given me for today. The truth we've been singing has just been amazing, and there's strength and there's power in declaring truth. Just to explain, the ladies' conference, it's not a G12 conference, it's a KCI conference, so it's a church. Windsor Church are borrowing our building for a ladies' day, and we're invited to come along too. Okay, so that's, it's not G12 in that sense, it's KCI, their own church conference. I know a number are going from LifeSpring, so I'd encourage you to join in as well. I'm sure it'll be great. Just to clarify that. Okay, so in the middle of my talk, I'm looking at that time there, but I don't want to give the Holy Spirit all the blame, but he'll lead us. In the middle of my talk, I just want us to just open up to God, and we're going to have a listen to a bit of worship and connect with some worship, I hope, as I feel there's a little message in there. So please don't go to sleep, please be ready for that. And so we want to look at hidden warfare. We were looking at last week, and I couldn't think of a better title for this week, so I've just put two on it. And it's following on from last week anyhow. And this scripture we looked at a little while ago from Ephesians came back to me, and I want to read it because this is the heart that I'm coming from in sharing, as I said last week, you know, that we understand fresh. I just feel there's fresh revelation to come. There's more in our thinking to get hold of. And that's why we're in a battle. You know, the enemy wants to prevent us from seeing, prevent us from responding. And Paul prays this amazing prayer, which we're going to pray again in a moment or two. And he says, I keep asking. Somebody said to me the other day, why do we have to keep asking, you know, for someone to get healed? And, you know, surely if you've asked once, that's enough. Well, I don't understand why we have to keep asking, but Jesus says keep asking, and Paul here keeps asking. I think there's something important about persevering and pushing through. I keep asking. So for Paul, this didn't happen first time. It wasn't answered immediately. He realized he needed to keep on praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. We need some spiritual miracles. I guess all miracles are spiritual. We need our eyes to be opened. And in the preamble last week, I said I felt the need to talk on hidden warfare because the enemy is winning a battle. He's blinding our eyes, preventing us from seeing the potential, the call of God on our lives as individuals. And we were praying in the prayer meeting for those in workplaces, you know, because that's where you're spending most of your time. You need to catch the heart of God in that situation, but also for us as a church, corporately together. And we still need to battle through. We still need to see. There's still more to come. Seeing, having vision, is essential for purposeful living. But much of the church in the UK has gone to sleep. And the devil's happy with a dormant church, because a dormant church, a sleepy church, a church which is not convicted, a church which is not responding to the call of God, is no threat at all. He's happy with that. But he knows if the church was to wake up to see and believe, his kingdom of darkness would be under threat and be pushed back as the church of Jesus Christ rises up and begins to believe who they are and who Jesus is. Can I have an amen? I really believe that. Someone said to me after last week's talk, Nev, that was such a great talk, so inspiring. I just wonder, though, if the hearts and minds remained untouched. And I thought, I don't want to say it, But I feel you're probably right. That's the major part of our battle for the hearts and minds. And that's what the enemy, where he's particularly active. So we need to pray again. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for each other that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, to know who he is who he says he is, and to know who we are, I am who he says I am, and of course to know the power, his power, which is at work through us, through the Holy Spirit, because he's the God of miracles. So could you join with me? I've just changed the word slightly to make it more personal. And let's together, I don't know whether you want to put your hand on your heart or on your head, but put it somewhere, minds and hearts, let's together pray this prayer back to the Lord. Okay, pray it with me. I ask that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. I pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in your holy people, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That's a powerful prayer. And I'd encourage us to pray that regularly, that we know, that we receive, that we see. So ask and keep asking, because he's the God of more. And there's more revelation coming our way. I was hearing this week of a conversation between a mentor and a disciple. And the young man was asked, how do you see yourself? And he answered pretty negatively, just didn't see a lot at all of value. And the mentor said to this young man, he said, well, that's really interesting. When so many people see you in a totally opposite light, they see you as a great father, a great husband, a good friend, a man of integrity, of kindness, a reliable person, somebody who's honest, somebody who works hard and well. And he didn't see any of that. You see, the enemy is winning a battle. He saw himself as inferior and maybe, he didn't say these words, you know, maybe just not worthy, not counted. Now, I don't know the outcome, but that young man and each one of us here needs to ask God to show us who he says we are. Begin to hold our heads high and live like the people of God that he's called us to be. Because if we don't live within that revelation of who God calls us, we live with our head bowed and we just feel we've got nothing to offer, nothing to contribute, just going through life, doing as best as I can, hoping for the best, doing my little bit here, my little bit there. But no, we're called to be more than conquerors. We're sons and daughters of God, called to conquer, called to overcome. Somebody said earlier on, we're not underneath, we're above. But if we think we're underneath and we live like we're underneath, we might as well be underneath. But if we can begin to see where God's called us to be, seated with him in heavenly places, and we take our authority and our rule in our homes and our workplaces and the church from that perspective, we're going to see amazing things happen. Hallelujah. I'd like another amen for that. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim. You see, the devil has blinded our eyes. Going to Colombia has helped some of us see and believe for multitudes, because we see them gathering every week, and hundreds and even thousands possibly getting saved every week. Going to the Philippines, Jackie and I had that amazing privilege. We saw hundreds, thousands, young, primarily single people out of university, passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ, just longing, just loving to share. And their church of 200, 10, 15 years ago is 20, 25,000 now. They believed who God said they were. And they were believing who God said he is. And they're seeing their nation change. When one sees what God's doing in ordinary people in different nations, we can begin to dream for our nation too, because he's the same God. And if we believe, Jesus says, nothing is impossible. Nothing's impossible. I was at a little goodbye thing to previous pastor from Argyle yesterday, and Dave Long was quoted this from Charles Spurgeon. I thought it was so interesting. Charles Spurgeon is a famous Baptist minister of the last century, or maybe the one before, I can't remember. He said this: what God did in the past is a prophecy of what he wants to do in the future. I thought, I like that. What God did in the past is a prophecy of what he wants to do in the future. And if that's true, then I want to say what God is doing in other places in this world is a prophetic picture of what he wants to do here too. Amen. So I rejoice that the church is a massive explosion across the world. More people coming to know him than ever before. Don't believe the lies that the church is dying and on the way out. That may apply to Europe at the moment, but a change is coming. Because what he can do in South America and Africa and Asia and all the continents of the world, he can do here too. Amen. Amen. So last week, thank you. Last week we saw we were in a battle, a spiritual, invisible battle. And just because it's invisible doesn't mean to say it's not real. It's very real. And he attacks us. The enemy attacks us. Satan, he's the king of this kingdom. He attacks us in many ways, producing unbelief and negativity. And if he produces that in our hearts, faith for victory and conquest is eliminated. Did you know that? That's why we've got to be men of faith and belief. Don't live under that cloud of negativity and unbelief like many do. Or he's looking to trap us, to hook us, to find a foothold. Paul says, don't let him get that foothold. If you're going to be angry, be angry, but don't sin. Don't give him that opportunity to get in. Because if he can get in, he significantly reduces our effectiveness against him. I've been reading the Gospels, and I've been challenged every time people came to Jesus, they got healed. Every time they touched his coat or his jeans, if he was living in our days, they would have been healed. And I thought, what was it about him? He didn't even know who he healed. I don't think. There were hundreds, thousands. They would come. And I just had this sense, I think there was just something about the holiness of God. He was so close walking with his Father. He was pure. He didn't sin. I just wonder how much that holds a church back when we accommodate sinfulness and sinful living in our lives. But for Jesus, he said, the enemy's come. He's got nothing on me at all. And they just touch his coat and immediately power of God released. Total healing. Hallelujah. I believe that's what God wants for us too. Amen. So he attacks us and our stand becomes weakened and God's purposes compromised. So let me quickly read from the passage we read last week, Ephesians 6. So Paul says at the end of his chapter, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. It's not against human beings, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where the battle is. It's a fight in the spiritual realms. Therefore, Paul says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. Why is Paul giving us these instructions? Because we're in a battle. And it doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. The fact is you are. And as I said last week, Satan's undercover. I mean, he tries to hide, so most of us don't even realize. But there's a fight going on, and it's a fight for the hearts and the minds of men. And so Paul says, stand firm. And he goes through basically a description of a Roman soldier, all the different parts of his armor, and he illustrates how that they're important to clothe ourselves in so that we stand against the enemy. I once heard somebody say every day before he gets up, or as he gets up, immediately his first thing to do was put on the belt of truth and to put on the breastplate of righteousness and to, as he put his shoes on, that's great, but it's not just symbolic, this stuff. That's an illustration. We need to live in truth. That's the fight. We need to live in righteousness. We need to live sharing the gospel. Just pretending to put your shoes on won't make any difference. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to live in faith. You're just illustrating it, you know, every day isn't going to make it happen. We have to live in it. And the helmets, we need to guard our minds. So I just want to talk on a couple of these aspects today. Maybe just one, the way things are going. But I did have two in mind to talk about. And the first one is the belt of truth. And just coming, Matt, from the songs that you sang today, you know, what does he say? There's freedom in truth. What's that phrase from Jesus' mouth? What's that phrase? The truth will set us free. We can sing about freedom. We can sing to our heart's content. But the truth is, as we follow the truth, as we live by the truth, we become free. And that's God's plan and God's purpose and heart for each and every one of us. So Paul says, put on this belt of truth. Truth is such an important foundation. And truth, especially biblical or Christian truth, is being challenged in all directions. But we need to stand firm. See, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I just realized without truth, without a clear... I wanted a Bible, so I didn't bring one. It's in my iPad. But without a clear standing on the Bible and what it says in there, we're a wishy-washy church. You know. But when we stand firm on what the Bible tells us, we're strong. Yeah? And the culture and society, everything is opposed to biblical and Christian truth. But here at LifeSpring, we're standing firm on the truth of God. It's the word of God, and it's what we base our lives on. We will not be moved. The Bible teaches there's only one God. So offensive out there. That means all other religious gods aren't gods at all, because there is only one. They're just figments of imagination. The Bible teaches there's one way to the Father, only one way to the Father, through Jesus. And he says, I am the way. That means all other ways are ending up somewhere else, different destination. Does it? There's only one way to the Father, through Jesus. And he's the way, the truth, and the life. That's pretty controversial. Two pretty controversial statements in a multi-faith society. But that's what Christians believe, because the Bible tells us that so. The Bible teaches us, and we've been singing about it today, he's been given all power and authority. He's building his church, which will overcome the gates of hell. That's why I believe in church, because Jesus believes in church. It is the hope of the world. It is God's means of expressing his life, his love, his power, because his spirit comes to live in his people. Amen. And so we can't help but make a difference. We go into the workplace because we're so full of the Holy Spirit, aren't we? That we just breathe peace and life and joy. I heard a member of our church got voted the happiest person in their workplace. I thought, what an amazing testimony. You know, that's a great testimony. The happiest person in their workplace. The joy of the Holy Spirit. We take him with us. We change the critical, judgmental attitudes by coming in grace. And in the opposite spirit. Amen? That's him in us. That's what the church does. It's not just the church here. The church here doesn't do so much in these walls. It's the church out there, which is really counting. Everywhere we go, in our homes, in the workplaces, in the community, there to make a difference, to influence, to change, to see light shining in darkness. Isn't it a great calling? Lord, open our eyes to understand it even more. Bible tells us he came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's truth. He's now ascended and glorified. He's got a name above every name. He has no rival. He has no equal. He's God. And all other so-called gods have died or they never even existed. But he's far above. He's alive. He is who he said he is. I hope I'm not offending anybody here. I'm just talking, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Christians believe. And I respect every other faith. But this is the truth for me, and this is the truth for us here. He is who he said he is, and he's called us and chosen us. We were in a mess, but he's forgiven us. He's cleansed us. One of my favorite passages, you have heard it before, Paul says, well, it's a bit negative to start with, but it ends up good. Don't be deceived. You're neither the sexually immoral, or the idolaters, or adulterers, or men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards. By the way, you know, there's a whole lot of bad stuff there, and we just think that applies to everybody else. Nor the greedy. You know, how many of us have to deal with that in our lives? You know, it's not just, it's all bad stuff. And living this way just prevents us from experiencing, enjoying the kingdom of God. It says we won't inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. Maybe most of us apply somewhere along those lines. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's why I love that verse. That's what we were. I might have been described there, but I'm not anymore. The old has gone, the new has come. I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. I'm not having that label of adulterer or homosexual or greedy person or whatever it might be on my life, because he's forgiven me. He's cleansed me. He's made me whole. This is truth. That's why I'm sharing it. This is amazing truth. May not always feel like it, but we don't base truth on feelings. May not even look like it, and we don't base it on what it looks like either. If we believe, it's true. It's faith. If we believe, it's true. Here's another quick passage. I'm only going to do one point, I'm realizing. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Isn't that amazing? That's the truth. He had blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He's blessed us to be a blessing. Before we existed, before we were born, God had in mind, Jim Herring's coming my way. Now, Jim, of course, always had a choice, but the intention of God was, Jim, I want you, you're my son. Debs, I want you, you're my daughter. Sophie, whoever you are, is that Sophie there? Yeah, I want you, you're my daughter. He chose us before we were created. Hallelujah. That's because he loves us that much. The enemy is under our feet. His spirit has come to live in us, sanctifies us, anoints us, and leads us into all truth. We are his children, his sons, and his daughters. LifeSpring, this is our calling. This is our inheritance. The enemy wants to prevent us from seeing any of that, keep us feeling inferior and rubbish and worthless. But we're not going to stand for that anymore, are we? We're going to put that belt of truth around us, say, I'm standing on God's word. And here's another truth. And I just feel from the Lord, it's prophetic for us at the moment, he is good. No matter what comes our way, he's good. That's why we trust him. It doesn't always work out the way we think it should, but he's always good. There's a few scriptures which I won't refer to. You can just read them there. But what a great God. This is the truth, and that sometimes it feels the opposite. We wonder where he is, but he says he's never going to let us go. We question his love and his faithfulness, but it's just poured out upon us day after day after day. He enables us in times of struggle. He equips us. Nothing is going to be too much for us that we won't be able to cope with. He is always good. In the church, we're battling cancer. In the church, we're battling depression. In the church, we're battling other sicknesses and troubles. And they all come from the devil. And even if we don't win every battle, God is still good. He only gives good gifts. He only wants the best. He's a good, good Father. I want us, you know, this is the reason we want to serve him and worship him, and this is the reason we want to take him into our workplaces and everywhere else, because of who he is and what he's done for us. I just want us to take a short break. It's probably going to be almost ending with it now, but let's take a short break. And so I want us to watch this little video clip of the song that we often sing here being sung. It's from Bethel, but I want you to listen to what the worship leader says halfway through the little bit that we're going to sing. They're powerful words, and you'll see the conviction that she expresses. And as I've listened to this many times over the months, I thought, Lord, just wash that deep into my heart. And I was thinking, wash it into LifeSpring's heart. Wash it into LifeSpring's heart, that whatever comes our way, he is always good, and I'm going to praise him, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to worship him. Amen. So, Leonie, if we could look at this little clip, please. And we're halfway through a longer section, so we're going to just phase it in. And then after she's spoken, she just talks about letting this truth go in her heart. They begin to sing the song very softly, I'd Like Us. Why don't we just stand at that time and just begin to sing it as well. He's good. He's good. Oh, and just receive that over our hearts. Thank you, Leonie.
Because we always do. Because he's so good. There's the only thing in my entire life that was greater than my fear is my conviction. It's the only thing in my entire life that was greater is my conviction that I knew he was who he said he was. Even if I hadn't experienced him in a certain way yet. Even if my experience and my understanding was small, I knew he was not. So I want to sing this again, and I want you to let it rise from deep, deep, deep down. Let confidence fill you today. Sometimes we sing something because we believe it, because we're sure. Sometimes we sing it until we're sure, until we know. So if that's not your conviction today, that he's good and that he's been good since the garden before that, then I want you to sing this to yourself. I want you to sing it over yourself. Long after my life on the earth, I want it to be remembered that I sang this song, that I was so completely convinced of the goodness of the Father. So if you need to prophesy this morning, prophesy that he's good. If you haven't seen his goodness manifest in a situation or a relationship, in your family, in the thing that you feel called to, prophesy his goodness. We're gonna let it rise this morning. You are good. You're good. Ooh. confidence rise. You are good. You're good. You are good.
From our hearts, we declare that truth this morning. You are good, always good. Oh, Lord, we declare your goodness. For some people this morning, that's a sacrificial statement to make because it looks like things aren't working out right. But we declare our trust in you because you're a good God, you're a faithful God, you're a loving God. You are good, good. Oh, and you're never going to let us down. You're never going to let us down. Never going to let us down. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you. We worship you. We declare that this morning. We make that statement. There's spiritual warfare, Lord. We're standing against the enemy who wants to sow different thoughts into our minds. But we say you're always good. Always good. You're a good, good father that loves your children, and you're never going to let us down. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Please take your seats. I've got just a few minutes left, and then Matt come up and just... Sorry, the time's gone a bit, hasn't it? I just quickly want to say just a few more thoughts. Let's get that goodness of God into our hearts, and I'd like maybe ministry, and we can pray that that can just be released among us, wherever we are, whatever we're going through, at least would be one of the things. But truth, the belt of truth, we need to understand the Bible. We need to understand the context it's written in. Can't just apply a verse here and just assume it automatically applies. We need to know how that applies, what it meant then, and then what it means to us now. But we stand on the written word of God. But also, in the armor of God, we need to... I just want to bring these thoughts to you. It's about honesty, transparency, and integrity. That's how truth is worked out in our lives. No fake Christians. No Christians who say one thing and believe and live another. Integrity will get challenged in so many ways. our relationships, our special friendships, for example, need clear boundaries to preserve integrity. Then we not only say we believe, we live what we believe. I'll be honest, before I met Jackie, even though I was saved, boundaries in my relationships didn't really exist. We were Christians, so there were limits, but we went further than we should have. But when Jackie and I met, we knew the boundaries. And we didn't say it as such, but it was, don't touch what you haven't got. And that was our testimony, because we practiced what we preached. And not everybody's done that. And as I say, in the past, that wasn't the case. But we won the victory in that area. And I can expect that of others, because we've worked it through ourselves. Do you understand? It's not just a standard up there that's unattainable. We worked it through. And that's what we teach and preach, probably even more than that now. Truth, which is not lived out in practice, produces fake Christians. I can teach tithing, but if I'm not giving 10%, I'm a fake. I can teach the principle of following and honoring leadership, but if I'm not prepared to do it, it's fake news. I could have an amazing ministry, or think I have, but if my home is a mess, well, Paul tells us that's where it starts. Integrity is about being men and women who practice what we preach. Someone in the church said to me last week, before I was saved, I didn't mind fiddling my benefits, but now I have to live by their rules. Amen. Yes, that's the changes which begin to take place in our lives. Before I was saved, I used to take sickies if I wanted a day off. Now my conscience won't allow me to do that. Praise God. We're men and women of integrity. One of the biggest arguments and possible obstacles in believing our message is the church generally says one thing and lives another. The world thinks we're just hypocrites or religious. Both are bad. We have to change their view. And it's not through words, but it's by them seeing the integrity, transparency, and honesty in our lives. Jesus says, if you say you love me, you'll obey my commands. You see, they will see that we're not immune from troubles. Bad things happen to good people. But they will see, but there's a trust there in God, which I wish I had. There's a peace beyond understanding which they are receiving and enjoying. And even when things get tough, they refuse to moan, they refuse to be critical, they refuse to be negative. Rather, from their lips comes worship and praise to their God, because we know he's good, and he's good all the time. So I have more to say, because I wanted to go onto the breastplate of righteousness. We really aren't going to be able to do that. And that maybe might be for next week or some other time. But we need to understand this is the truth, and this is where our battle starts, really, because the enemy wants to infiltrate us with his thoughts. And as I said last week, and I'll say again this week, the heart of me wanting to share some of this stuff is so that we can rise up and believe we are who God says we are. And as a church, we can conquer. As a church, we can influence Reading. As a church, we can see the gospel going from this place, not the only church in town, I understand all that, but as a church, our responsibility here to make him known, to see cells growing, because we believe that's God's heart, to see disciples being formed because we know that's what God's called us to take the gospel out and see people respond and lives are changing because that's the commission which he's given us. Amen. To conquer for Jesus, see the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, in our homes, I keep saying it, in our workplaces, in the communities, everywhere we go, we release more of him. That's what he's called us to be. That's what he's called us to do. And to make his name great in this town. Let's stand, let's pray, and let's worship him. Lord, I thank you for that little clip I saw again, and we saw it. Just the passion in that lady's heart. Put it in our hearts too. That absolute conviction of the goodness of God. And Lord, it's because you're so good, we want to live our lives for you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, I don't know what we're going to sing, but I pray you'll use this song. I pray you'll just use these last few minutes together to touch our hearts, to touch our lives in a significant way. And where there's been wavering or even unbelief, Lord, may the Holy Spirit bring the conviction into our lives and hearts so that we can repent, turn around, leave that behind, and receive the grace of God, the love of God, and the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Matt.
We need no other hiding place. Hope is safe within your name. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. You promise never to forsake. What you begin, you will sustain. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. And I will call upon the Lord. The shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. All of the heavens and the earth announce the fullness of your word. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. And every enemy will flee, cause we declare your victory. Yes, we know. Yes, we know. And I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. Jesus' name will break every stronghold. Freedom is ours when we call His name. Jesus' name above every other. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Jesus' name will break every stronghold. Freedom is ours when we call His name. Jesus' name above every other. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. We'll call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain.
Jesus' name will break every stronghold.
Freedom is ours when we call His name.
Jesus' name above every other.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name.
Jesus' name will break every stronghold.
Freedom is ours when we call His name.
Jesus' name above every other.
Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.